Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is your host, Monk. You can find out more about writings, publishings, and audio and podcasts at my website, allbook-books.com. And this is the first mini podcast with an interview. So have a listen. And there's links to find out more about the fascinating variety of writings and music and artwork that Elena Botts is doing. Okay, hi Elena. Welcome to the first mini interview podcast. So how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thanks. It's nice to have you on. Let's see, I published, I think it was your first book, right? A Little Luminescence, Poems and Artwork. There's some lovely, pencil drawings. And then your poetry, when I got your poetry when you were about 15, this is about 8 years ago, and it was definitely striking, the kind of, just the, it's hard to describe, but this kind of philosophical communion with nature, kind of verbiage and insight and all kinds of things going on. And I wondered if at that age, typically a lot of poetry, there's that stereotypical teen angst poetry, but is that something that you just didn't get into, or it wasn't some, you know, there weren't those kind of issues to write about?
I think that I didn't characterize myself as a teenager, and I felt kind of like, just like somebody. Wasn't really concerned with necessarily the same sorts of things that teenagers are supposed to be concerned with, but I also think that that's fairly common, and that a lot of teenagers aren't like the stereotypical teenager or anything. So I think I was always interested in exploring themes like as a kid and as a teenager and like as an adult. If I were to characterize stages of my life that way, which I probably wouldn't, I was always concerned with similar themes like nature, mortality, beauty, love, just universal stuff.
What were those four again? The nature, what? Mortality, what was the other one?
Beauty and love.
Love. Okay, neat. Yeah, you reminded me of like one of the best books I've ever read, especially for parents, which I'm not one. It's by Tobin Hart, H-A-R-T, The Secret Spiritual World of Children. And it just goes in depth as to what is actually going on inside a child, to the point where, in a way, like you said about a teenager, you can't really label somebody by their age, but to actually talk with them and get to know them, there's just kind of like worlds within worlds. So that's very insightful. That's neat. And I think everybody has memory, from whatever age. You know, we kind of assume that, the elder people have more memories, but, you know, maybe, In some ways, but what you seem to be getting at is that memory is kind of built into us as beings, and so you're fascinated by memory, and writing about that. As far as you kind of your poetry is very sort of non-linear. It kind of has a feel of a native perspective, where as a Lakota friend mentioned to me, the best way to understand native language and thinking is to consider past, present, and future as happening all at once. Is that something that you're aware of, or consciously, or just sort of natural, you know, inherently?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the perspective that I feel resonates. I'm really focused on the past. And I spend a lot of time dwelling on sentiments that I hold towards past events. And I also like to think of everything as happening simultaneously in a way. And that sort of affords me some freedom in terms of going from one memory to another, instead of constraining my thought process to like a linear thought process.
Yeah, you have, and another book you did in 2017, that I did not publish that one, that's published by Transcendent Zero Press, called The Sadness of the Snow, but I wrote the introduction, and I quoted a very, very deep line, everything is in everything, the universe is in you, all that remains is how you remember.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I think that is similar to the theme that you were mentioning before. The same sort of concept is embedded in that. I think it's a similar sort of idea.
Yeah, so that's what I like. I enjoy that about your poetry, is it's very refreshing that it's kind of, it's hard, literally hard to describe. It kind of jumps all over the, you know, jumps through time and space and sort of surreal in a way, but the images blend, in a way that, combines. It's more, I think it conveys some of the actual sensory experience, that people have, you know, not just looking at one thing, but the things that remind of things and goes back and forth in past and future.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to read a short, just a few lines from that first A Little Luminescence book to give listeners a feel for what you were doing when you weren't so much writing about, you know, teen angst. This is a little poem called Sunrise. It starts off, moon washed up in light seeped sunrise, a gleaming shell on celestial shore. The wind so like the tide, the foamed clouds, the burning star fire. So that's neat, because you start off with, you know, it's you kind of cover the moon and the water and celestial and starfire, and there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been in awe of natural phenomena.
Yeah, you were mentioning, you've said to me something about that your father, part of your influence from that in your writing is from your father?
I mean, he always had an appreciation for nature. My mom also appreciates nature a lot. My dad is involved as a water quality scientist and someone who's always been pretty earth conscious.
So that kind of, no pun intended, that seeped into your consciousness in your writing. Do you remember that from, you know, like, do you have a memory of like at 5 years old or 7 years old, or just it just happened and that's how it is?
I think that the fact that my dad appreciated nature so much is why he had a place where I grew up that was very beautiful. It was like 6 acres of land, and I just kind of like wandered around, and it was pretty, yeah, I mean, it was like a beautiful place to grow up.
That's nice, yeah, nice to have that influence. So then, kind of fast forwarding, now how many books, you've done a bunch of different books, so those two, or you have another one in the works?
Yeah, there's a few in the works right now. There's quite a few, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of switching to trying some more prose writing in the future. I like poetry, but I've had a lot of books published, so.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing at your age, to, you know, to be thinking about shift. But a lot of writers of any kind or famous writers, sometimes I'm surprised when I know a writer as like a poet, but then I read that they've written, you know, essays, short stories, nonfiction, plays. So I think that's a natural thing. I was looking on your recent, website, I'm not sure what to call it, and you're doing some interesting stuff. You have poems with, put to kind of music. You have sort of sound effect, sort of vocal thing going on, and I would call it avant-garde. It's called Music for No Instruments. And there's one track called Moon Children. So, maybe you could read, just like a little section of that.
Yeah. So I mean, the music it falls under the category of noise music or sound art, and it's
noise music?
Yeah, it's a type of experimental music that my influences include, like Eliane Radigue's, Long Drone.
Say with the name again?
Eliane Radigue. I really enjoy her drone works.
E-L-I-A-N?
Eliane.
How do you spell it?
E-L-I-A-N-E.
So what are the influences?
Eliane Radigue.
Okay, and anyone else?
And also some people in the New York School of Poets, as well as some composers such as Lamont Young, Terry Riley, some of those composers. I really like Henry Flint a lot because he does a lot of stuff with folk music, like avant-garde folk music. So, I mean, it's stuff that I've been listening to you for a long time, and I decided that I wanted to make something that I felt like music would be an interesting like place to go, because it was more accessible in a way, and more it involves, you can really like get involved with people collaborating. And I've also just really enjoyed music my whole life, but I never tried to make any, so I thought, well, I don't know how to play an instrument, but I could try experimental music.
Very nice. Yeah, I think there is, to me, poetry, there's music in poetry, and poetry in music. So, yeah, if you don't know, there's someone you should definitely look up. John Cage, have you heard of?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Everybody knows.
Yeah. Okay. That's the obvious one. Anyway. Okay. So can you read a little bit, from the, just to give a, since I read a section, but it's always best to hear a poet in their own voice. So read a bit of the Music for No Instruments.
Yeah. Sure. So, past the railroad tracks from which we fled, from the water which was looking for us, piped and illuminated by its own sound, like the brain subterranean is this fog dense, as you go out to your parked car in the moonlight.
Alright, very nice. Yeah, the first line that jumped out at me in that one was the from the water which was looking for us, because I like that you could try to convey the perspective of not just you, but of relating, you know, with the surroundings. And then you, to get, you know, try to, gives an example of what I was trying to describe is how you go from the fog dense to the parked car in the moonlight. So it's very sort of, you know, nature, cosmos, but then it's very grounded. So
mm-hmm.
Is that something that's just sort of, once you get into the stream of consciousness, it comes out that way, or is it a conscious thing, or is it a combination of trying to put that all in a poem?
I think that they occur pretty naturally, but I also am wary of making something that's so abstract that it lacks any sort of, reality or meaning. And so I think it's important to not extrapolate so far that it becomes completely, abstruse.
Yeah, I think that's a great guideline. Because some poetry gets so abstract or abstruse that it's hard to even understand. But yours, it kind of drifts a little bit, like you describe with memory, how, you know, you could look at something to remind you of the past or how you feel, and just to put all that in, I think is actually the most, quote, realistic of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think so. There's a lot of poets who have, I always like poems that were specific or particular.
Well, yeah, there's a nice, very nice, like I said, for people looking for I don't want to label it, but a kind of stream of consciousness, very considering all the senses. I like the word sensual, with an E there, and very evocative and kind of different perspectives. And you do have some stuff about relationships and getting along with people, and it's in this. Again, it's in this kind of wider angle, wider lens than just a typical relationship issue. So there's lots of interesting writings that you have to explore. Anything else you want to add about your writing or anything that's going on in the world or anything?
I can't really think of anything.
All right, well, thanks so much. It's fascinating to hear. You know, a little bit of a description of your writing process, because, like I said, it's really wonderful. Poetry is just very in-depth and very evocative. It always makes me stop and see the world a little differently, which I think is part of the goal of the arts.
I appreciate it.
So, all right, thanks so much, Alina.
All right, thank you.